Welcome to Innovation Alberta, a celebration of science, research, and the inventive spirit. I'm Cheryl Croucher. You know that when you've got a fever or a runny nose that you're coming down with something, so you reach for a tissue or go see a doctor. But what if you're a cow? How do cattle communicate they're sick? Lloyd Osler and his colleagues have developed a wireless remote sensing system called FARM to let farmers monitor the health of their cattle over the internet. And move over, oil and gas. Alberta has launched its new Life Sciences Institute to help develop our emerging bioeconomy. Daphne Cheel sheds some light on what that means for economic diversification in the province. These stories coming up in the next half hour on Innovation Alberta. Wireless technology has brought us the cell phone revolution. Now perhaps it will do something for health, not just human health, but also that of animals. For years, Lloyd Osler of Ovistech Corporation has been involved in the development of real-time tracking systems. His latest venture, in cooperation with the Alberta Research Council and some other partners, employs wireless sensors to help farmers track the health of their cattle online. It's called FARM, which is short for Feedlot Animal Remote Sensing. I caught up with Lloyd at a workshop hosted by the Alberta Research Council to showcase the group's progress on FARM.
It's a very exciting day. We've been working on this project for about a year and a half, and it's now culminating to the fact that we're able to actually demonstrate real-time acquisition information, surveillance of cattle in the feedlot and here at the Research Council as well, and be able to track their health and report back on what that is.
Where did the idea for this come from?
It came from actually meeting with a couple of friends of mine who happened to be in the livestock business, and they had seen our epidemiological EpiTrack system, and they said, you know, this could be adapted to the livestock industry, and these are the kinds of benefits we see might happen. And I said, you're right. And so as a result, I sent some information to the Research Council, and then Paul Late, who's the Vice President of the Research Council, and I sat down one day, and he is responsible for intelligent devices within the Research Council. And I said, that's what we need, and we've got the software and the knowledge and systems experience and understanding and scope and vision of this that we could put this together. And the rest is history. We put together a team, and here we are today.
Well, what's really interesting is that you've taken one technology, which was dealing with how do you track a pandemic, for example, and applied it to all kinds of different things, and this one just happens to be agriculture.
That's correct. We also have applied this to crash site systems. We've applied it to asset management and other major event-based opportunities. So the technology is transportable across, and that's the good thing about it, is you learn and have a lot of experience with technology and scopes and how to make things work. And then you can say, this is an opportunity, let's make it work in this particular venue or this particular industry.
How does this system actually work?
Well, it's a totally wireless system. Animals wear devices that report back according to controls we send the devices, a number of measurements about the cattle and what it's doing, what it's eating, and its health and so on. And it reports it back to a system that we then analyze that and can provide alerts as to the onset of an illness in that animal. And that then gets fed back to the farmer in his production system, and he can cull that animal out or treat it in advance of it getting more ill than it would otherwise have been. And the issue is that if the farmer can get an early warning of onset of an illness, that they can have about an 85% recovery rate, which they otherwise wouldn't have. Once the animal becomes chronic, it's very difficult to get them back. I was just talking in the workshop today with Reg, and he was actually saying out some numbers in his operation, which is not a large operation, that his operation could save well in excess of probably $25,000 to $30,000 with this kind of system implemented in that kind of an operation. And that's big money. I mean, that's repeatable year after year after year, and that's a lot more money than this kind of system would ever cost an operator.
You're just at the prototype stage. You're doing some field testing. What kind of results are you getting back?
Well, we've collected almost 4 gigabytes of data. So we have an enormous amount of data we've already collected back, and we're already seeing patterns of behavior that are exhibited by the animals over, you know, the 24-hour and then week and month period and so on. And, of course, this is monitors them 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So we're able to see the onset of some illnesses, the response to medications they've received, and those kinds of things. So the test of this system was, could we, in fact, measure information that was relevant? Did it have meaning? And the answer is yes, it does. And can we make use of that information to enhance the profitability of the production environment? And we believe that's the case.
Thank you very much, Lloyd.
Thank you, Cheryl.
That was Lloyd Osler, president of Ovistech Corporation. Reg Schmidt owns a small feedlot near Thorsby, Alberta. The prototypes for the wireless remote sensors to track animal health are being tested on his cows, some of which he brought with him to the recent farm workshop at the Alberta Research Council.
We feed during the winter approximately 2,500 head, and seasonally we drop down to a few hundred head, and it peak at Christmas time at about 2,500 head.
What is the problem for feedlot operators, the problem that this new system would help? What are you dealing with right now?
Well, right now we're still using old tech means of identifying sick animals and are getting them into the barn in a timely manner to get them treated. There's so much new technology out there to assist us that we always said there had to be a better way. So we're looking forward to some technology to assist us with identifying sick animals in a timely manner.
Now, you say you're using old technology right now. How are you actually doing it?
We look for physical signs of illness in the animals. Very simple things like depressed behavior, flat bellies that animals are showing that they're not eating, you know, crusty, dirty noses, that sort of thing, which we do it either on foot or on horseback, which is the same way it's been done for many, many years.
Sounds like an awful lot of work.
It's very labor-intensive, absolutely, and we're well aware of the acute labor shortage in Alberta we have right now, and it's definitely affected us in the last few years, and we're severely short of help, and we're looking for technology to help us.
You're involved right now in the field testing of farm. How is that working?
We started out with the farm project last summer. It was started out as a bunch of sheets of paper and a scrum of about 15 people to find out how this was going to work. And by the time we got into the winter, we had some prototype models that we looked at that we said, yes, this won't work, that will work. And that by after Christmas, we had working models that we actually applied to a number of calves. And it's gone up to 40 head that are actually on the system right now that are being monitored in real time.
Now, are you using collars or ear tags to monitor the animals?
The prototype right now is a two-piece system. The ear tag contains a temperature sensor, and it communicates with a neck collar. And the neck collar has a number of other devices, including motion sensing, and it also picks up information as the animal goes to water and goes to feed. And that is all collected in a computer database.
What's the difference that you've noticed?
Well, prototyping this kind of stuff, we've seen no difference. We have not taken advantage of the technology yet. The Ovistech, the lead in this project, has asked us to do things like we normally would, and it's all in an effort to get data as to what the system is detecting versus what we are finding physically.
What do you see down the road then?
Well, we really look forward to this being a big help in helping us identify sick cattle in a more timely manner than we could do by hand on our own on foot. The big thing, again, is the labor issue. If we can go out in the morning and selectively pull calves that are indeed need attention according to the computer modeling, I think it would save us an awful lot of time.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That was Reg Schmidt, who operates Rivera Farms, a feedlot near Thorsby, Alberta. One of the major partners in the development of the farm wireless system for tracking the health of cattle is the Alberta Research Council. Rod Ridley runs the sensors engineering unit at the ARC.
Well, about 2 or 3 years ago, we identified the technology that Ovistech was developing for tracking human health pandemics as a potential technology to track the health of cattle in feedlots. So we brought together a team that included Ovistech and Zanatech, Harding Instruments, Precarn, and a veterinarian and a feedlot operator to evaluate it as a feasibility study. And then once that showed quite a bit of promise, we brought together Precarn into the picture to help fund a fairly major project. It was over $500,000 to develop a prototype and show the effectiveness in the field.
Now, I noticed that the cows over here have sensors in their ears, and also there's collars that they're wearing that is helping gather the information for the transmission of the data so that it can be used. What did you have to do in order to develop these sensors?
Okay, there's first criteria we had to deal with is they had to be very low cost. So we looked at simple sensors in this case. The ear sensor measures the temperature of the ear and is an indicator of the body temperature. The collar temperature measures whether the cow is moving, when it's eating, when it's drinking, and how it's walking. So when we record those on a continuous basis, the patterns for cows can be detected, and when they show patterns that are different from normal, it indicates a cow that needs attention. The eating and drinking was primarily done at the research council by one of our lead scientists. That was a very difficult problem because the environment that the cattle live in on a day-to-day basis, the temperature sensor in the ear was done by Zanatech, and also the motion sensor was done by Zanatech and Harding. All of the wireless work was a combination of Zanatech, Harding, and then the data processing was OvisTech.
The Alberta Research Council has quite a history of dealing with sensors. How does this fit into the overall work that you've done?
This is a little bit of an outreach for us because this is our first attempt at doing sensors with wireless technology, but we see it as something that will be more and more used in the industry because of the very low cost that you can achieve when you go wireless instead of using hardwired things.
So you're just at the field testing stage with the prototype. What breakthroughs do you see with this? How are things coming along?
So far, the field testing has gone very well. It's on a small herd at Rivera Farms, and the devices have shown that it is possible to detect when a cow is becoming sick. We believe that there will be significant savings at the feedlots because they can intervene quicker. And at this point, in particular today, we're trying to get the message out to the industry to get the interest up so that we can deploy it on a much larger basis instead of just one feedlot.
Thank you very much, Rod.
You're welcome. Thanks.
That was Rod Ridley, Business Unit Manager for Sensors Engineering at the Alberta Research Council. Designing collars and ear tags that will stand up to the wear and tear of a herd of cattle has proven to be quite a challenge for the partners involved in developing the wireless feedlot animal remote sensing prototypes. Mark Fedoric is president of Zanatech Technologies, Inc.
The main problems we had were really the cows were much more aggressive and violent than I think we'd initially anticipated. On the hardware themselves, we had some pretty serious problems with the hardware early on. Some of the other things we had trouble with was kind of coordinating all the different devices talking and making sure that all the systems were working together properly. That was quite a challenging task for us.
When you say the cattle were hard on the devices, what were they actually doing?
Well, inside, actually, there's a couple different components, and those components were actually physically ripped off the board because as the cow moves around, it bumps against other cows, it bumps against the railing as it's eating and other stuff like that. And one of the other problems we've seen is that it's actually a common problem for ear tags to fall off, and making sure that we can keep those things on like they're supposed to was a bit of a challenge for us. So
how did you overcome that? What was the solution?
Well, just kind of an iterative process. We did several different things with the components. We ended up just gluing them down better and kind of making sure that there's some support inside the box, and also adding some shock absorbers inside of the box itself. And then also for the ear tags, we just kind of fine-tune the plastic parts a little bit just to make it so that they connect in a little better.
And how do these sensors compare to, say, other sensors that you've built?
Well, we've been doing medical devices for quite a while, so there was pretty much nothing in this that was, from a sensor side, that was brand new. Putting them all together and having them all work together was really the challenging part. Having all the wireless components talk together, that was quite a feat. You know, making sure that everyone was talking back at the right time, and not consuming too much power so that these devices can last months and years versus hours and days. So.
When you look down the road and imagine a day when every cow in the province has one of these devices on it,
Is there going to be any problems like keeping track of all of them when you've got all that wireless activity going on?
Not really, because the technologies we use are short range, so we're never looking at more than maybe 100 or maybe 200 cows at most in one range. And then the whole system is so scalable that you can add thousands and thousands of cows and more antennas, and it doesn't really affect how the rest of the system works. So it's very scalable from, you know, 2 cows to 3 cows to 10 cows to 100 cows to 10,000 cows. So we've designed the system so that it'll move through that way very easily. So.
What do you find exciting about this particular project?
I think, growing up in Alberta, you know, farming is a big part of everybody's lives. Whenever you drive through down to Calgary, or whether you have relatives in it or whatever, you're always exposed to farms and cows. And it was really fascinating to learn a lot about the whole cattle industry and designing something that could really help the public in whole. You know, that was a big part of it, I think, too. As an engineer, sometimes you design things that people never use, or stuff like that. But for this, you know, if this takes off like it's supposed to, it'll be really neat to see that our devices, our product is actually being used by many millions of people, or many millions of cows, and hopefully providing a lot of increased safety to the food system. So,
thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you.
That was Mark Fedorik, president of Zenantech Technologies, Inc. I also spoke with Rod Ridley, Reg Schmidt, and Lloyd Osler. Alberta has just established a Life Sciences Institute to help facilitate the goals and objectives of its life sciences strategy. Daphne Cheel is the executive director of the new Life Sciences Institute, and one of her tasks is to help people understand the whole concept of life sciences and the emerging bioeconomy.
Well, the economy that's based and built off of biological assets, biological materials. So when we look at our economy today, it's a lot of our feedstock, a lot of where we get the basic building blocks come from a hydrocarbon base. And so when we talk bioeconomy, we're talking the biomass-based economic feedstocks. So forestry, agriculture, crops, provide a fundamental platform for the bioeconomy.
Now, does this grow out of the idea of natural capital?
Natural capital is a complex concept, but it really looks at those elements. You know, it comes from the whole thing that we've got capital stocks, right? And so you've got physical capital, human capital, some people have said, natural capital, which are your natural resources, both those that are renewable and non-renewable. What we're looking at from a bioeconomy is those renewable resources that provide feedstocks into the bioeconomy, including your health sector.
So Alberta now has a life sciences strategy. You're heading up the Life Sciences Institute. Why are we focusing on this?
Alberta's always had a focus on trying to diversify its economic base. We're very much an energy province, and hydrocarbon usage, you know, be it oil and gas, coal. But there's always been a recognition that there is a need for diversification. Bioeconomy and bioeconomy objectives are gaining attention worldwide in looking for alternative or supplementary feedstocks to, in fact, enhance supply, as well as in the States, a large component of this has got to do with security, national security, around supply for basic economic building blocks.
So how does that differ then from, we've had a Department of Agriculture, a Department of Forestry, a Department of Energy, Innovation and Science deals with the Alberta Research Council and other organizations. How then is that going to bring everything together?
Well, the Life Sciences Institute is really about convergence. But we don't do it alone. We do it in partnership with our stakeholders, the other ministries, as you mentioned, a couple of them, our key partners in delivery of the life sciences strategy, agriculture, forestry, environment, to name a few. Their needs, as well as the health ministry, their needs and their priorities form a basis by which and the context in which the life sciences strategy operates. So when we look at it, it's a piece of the puzzle, and what we're trying to do is bring together the research users, which you can define as government and industry, with the research providers like ARC and the university, with the research funders, which again could be government. It also can be some large entities like the AHFMR, which you're familiar with, the Ingenuity Fund, government ministries, the federal government, and bringing them together around points of convergence to actually move ahead in this bioeconomy agenda.
What do you see then as being Alberta's strengths, the areas where you could really move ahead in terms of innovation and research?
We have a lot of natural assets. And we've been fortunate to have the entrepreneurialism to actually capitalize on those natural assets. So we do have a strong health sector. AHFMR has been a critical player in putting the capacity in place. We also have a very strong agricultural and forestry community where a lot of the feedstocks for the future are going to come from. We have great crop geneticists. We've got an incredible research capacity along a number of different platforms that will all help to build this bioeconomy.
Now, this is something new, and your board has just had its first board meeting. Who is your board? Who's on it?
Dr. Rob Rennie is the industry co-chair. Minister Dirksen is the other co-chair. We have Dr. Lauren Terrell, Dr. Hans van de Sand, from the medical side of things, Dr. Jackie Shan from CV Technologies, Mike Percy, the Dean of the School of Business at the University of Alberta, Bill Hunter from the Alberta Forestry Research Institute Board, Art Freilich from the Agriculture Research Institute Board, Neil Oberg, agricultural expertise, he's on a number of different boards, Linda Van Gastel, she's been on the ASR board and has been heavily involved in the water research strategy. For anyone I forgot, I apologize, but I think I got everybody.
I know this is still at the beginning stages. You're laying the foundation and you're looking forward to some times when you can have some accomplishments. But perhaps what you could do is give me some examples of how this convergence, as you say, how that might work. Take the field of agriculture, for example. How is that going to change?
Well, right now when we look at agriculture, agriculture produces products that are primarily in the food arena. And when we look at bioproducts and innovation to support the bioeconomy, there are opportunities for agricultural products to be grown to support other sectors like industrial chemicals, energy, biomaterials, composites. The Research Council has a wonderful board made out of flax straw. You know, we are better understanding flax and its and some of its attributes to support health outcomes, as well as oil from flax to support energy fuel objectives. So, you know, some examples there. We can look at the whole crop and use the whole resource to support the energy sector, the chemical sector, the fuel sector, and the material sector.
How does health fit into this?
Well, the innovation around health that we're looking at and some of the opportunities are perhaps around linking health outcomes with nutrition and the food we grow. And we've heard about how you can change your diet to help prevent or promote healthy, you know, prevent disease and promote healthy outcomes. So, you know, you look at agriculture, food, health as a suite that seems to have a natural fit. And I think that's an area of opportunity that we need to explore and more, and I think Alberta's got the expertise to do that.
Well, Daphne, in order to make all of this work, you still have to have the money. You can have the strategy, but you also need the money. How is this then going to pull the money into Alberta to help build or grow this new bioeconomy and really make life sciences go somewhere?
Well, you really need what I've heard our deputy talk about is the big ideas that have solid business cases behind them, that all three components of the research community the research community, the research providers, the universities, the Alberta Research Council, the users, industry, government, and the funding entities, that they all can get behind because it's a compelling case for investment to achieve specific outcomes. And, you know, I liken it to the success the Energy Research Institute has had and its precursor, Beostra, where the compelling case around unlocking the oil sands to lead towards economic outcome was there. And you saw, and it attracted investment, and look where we are today. Can we do the same thing around some concrete areas in the whole arena of life sciences or the bioeconomy? So that's what the Life Science Institute is hoping to get to through providing focus in some critical areas where that make up the life sciences or bioeconomy. So the areas of resource management innovation, health innovation, and bioproducts innovation are those three key areas that we feel we need to get to a concrete business case, but that's the first step.
Thank you very much, Daphne.
You're welcome, Cheryl. Thanks for having me.
That was Daphne Chiel, Executive Director of the Alberta Life Sciences Institute. That brings Innovation Alberta to a close for this week. The interviews you heard during this program are posted as audio files and as written transcripts on our website at innovationalberta.com. And you can keep up to date on technology and research events by subscribing to our weekly newsletter, Innovation Alberta Online. Innovation Alberta is sponsored by the Alberta Research Council, Alberta Innovation and Science, ICOR, the Informatics Circle of Research Excellence, Alberta Ingenuity, the University of Lethbridge, Calgary Technologies Inc., Alberta Gaming Research Institute, Alberta Conservation Association, the Sustainable Forest Management Network, Alberta Heritage Foundation for Medical Research, Science Alberta Foundation, Japan Canada Oil Sands Limited, and the NSERC ACR Integrated Landscape Management Research Chair. Innovation Alberta is mixed at Riverdale Recorders and is a Porcupine Stone production. I'm Cheryl Croucher.